They surround the fort. The Federals do. The Federal soldiers surround the fort on the land side while Foot bombarded the installation from the river. Fort Henry was a very poorly designed installation. The Confederate commander knew that he couldn't hold it. He sent most of his garrison away before the Federals even arrived. He had a 2,500-man garrison. Most of them went off toward Fort Donelson before the Battle of Fort Henry even started. The man in charge knew that he didn't really have a prayer. He put up the best fight he could, but it was really a quixotic effort because the fort was badly located, it was too near the river, and it was badly constructed. The river was high at this point in the season, early in the spring. Part of the fort actually flooded. Water came in to part of the fort at one stage in the battle. In fact, a little naval boat, one of the Union naval boats, floated into the fort. The fort was not a very defensible place. Many of the southern guns couldn't even be used. Defense was hopeless, as I said, and the fort fell on February 6th. February 6th, 1862, Fort Henry's gone. The Tennessee River is open, and the way deeper into the Middle Tennessee heartland was there in front of Grant. Grant did his next stage very efficiently, went south, cut the railroad, and then turned his attention to Fort Donelson. Now, the best way to get at Donelson with a joint force, of course, involved steaming back down the Tennessee River, up the Ohio River just a few miles, and then steaming up the Cumberland River, and that's what the Federals did. Fort Donelson would be a much tougher nut to crack. It was a much stronger fort, better constructed, far more troops there, but it was still vulnerable to the same kind of approach that Grant had used at Fort Henry. If Grant could get there with a sizable army and establish contact above and below the fort on the river, if he could have his troops with their left downriver from the fort and with their right upriver from the fort, it would seal the Confederates inside the fort and the Union Navy could control the river. The fort was very vulnerable, just as Fort Henry had been, even though it was a much stronger place. Halleck gave Grant an extra 8,000 troops for the march against Fort Donelson, bringing his army up to about 23,000. And Albert Sidney Johnston at this point began to make a series of serious mistakes. First, he withdrew from Bowling Green. He abandoned Bowling Green even before there was a resolution at Fort Donelson, even before Nashville was really in jeopardy. He split the garrison that had been there, pulling some back to Nashville, but sending thousands of them to Fort Donelson to bolster the garrison that was already stationed there. He was concentrating infantry at Fort Donelson, in other words, where they would be in a precarious position if a major Union force approached. And they would be useless against Foote's gunboats. There is no Confederate Navy on the rivers in the West, none. The Union Navy is unopposed in these early campaigns in the West. So that's one mistake, abandoning Bowling Green and sending so many thousands of troops to Donelson. He then put a thoroughly incompetent man in command at Fort Donelson, an officer named John B. Floyd, a Virginian who had been governor of Virginia. He had been a member of James Buchanan's cabinet. He had absolutely no military ability, and he's going to be in charge of the most important place in Albert Sidney Johnston's arena of operations. Grant reached Donelson within a week of taking Fort Henry, and the inept Floyd allowed him to make contact above and below the fort very quickly after he arrived on the scene, thus cutting Floyd's communication with Albert Sidney Johnston. The Federal gunboats were on the river bearing down on the fort, and they approached the fort, found out very quickly that this was a very different kind of place than Fort Henry. The Confederate batteries at Fort Donelson drove the Union fleet back, the flotilla back. In fact, a number of Union officers were wounded. Significant damage was done to a number of the Union vessels. This was not going to be an instance of the Union Navy deciding the issue. Fort Donelson, which was a large earthen fort proper and then surrounded by a ring of smaller earthworks, it was going to be a much more difficult place for Grant to capture. John B. Floyd realized after Grant had surrounded his installation that he was in trouble, and he roused himself in consultation with his principal subordinates, a man named Gideon Pillow, a political general from Tennessee.